Welcome. Let us look at chapter 2, which is business process outsourcing. In this chapter, we will look at aspects of the need for outsourcing, what are the BPO models available, and what are the different drivers of the BPO business. So let's start with need for outsourcing a business process, right? We've seen multiple reasons for outsourcing in the earlier chapters, and we saw that some of these, like increased focus on core business, cost savings, quality enhancement, space management, restructuring, scalability, and risk management have been covered, right? We also touched upon factors where the reasons revolved around improving customer satisfaction, increasing operational efficiency, and benefiting from the latest developments in the industry, right? Now, if you look at outsourcing, and as I gave you that example of classical outsourcing from the west to east. Now, why this example is, as we saw historically, this emerged in the United States and primarily outsourced to the Asian or Eastern part, right? And why that example? Because you know there is a huge difference in the currency valuation. One USD, which is United States dollar, is equivalent to 70 plus INR, Indian rupees, right? Similarly, if you take Europe, one EUR, which is one euro, that's approximately 80 Indian rupees, right? So there's a huge difference in the currency valuation. So if a business is spending, say, 10 USD there, right, they automatically get the capacity of spending 10 into 70, which is 700 INR here, right, because of the wage difference. That's one. The other aspect is wages, right? Countries like United States, primarily, and even the other European sector, they have a minimum wages laws on minimum wages, right? The current minimum per hour rate in the US, I am not sure, but revolved around 10 USD per hour. Any skill or any even the least lower skill guy there, even if you want services of a mason or a plumber or a janitor, you can't pay below that minimum wages. You have to bare minimum pay that. While the charges may be higher, but that's a base benchmark, right? Contrary to that, in say India, right? Same example of a plumber. Like you may want to get a tap replaced, right? The plumber comes and says $600, right? You will negotiate with him and finally agree with him to do it at 300 rupees. So what is happening is there is negotiation available here, right? Why is that negotiation happening? The other factor is you have alternatives available at lower cost. You will tell him, I have B plumber who is available at doing it at 300, right? That doesn't happen there because there it's more of a guideline that a particular minimum wage needs to be paid. Right, so these factors in terms of gross negotiation of the wages or the low cost label, these play a huge role in getting the outsourcing done from the western to the eastern side. Right, time difference, sometimes you see that there's a sizable time difference in the western and the Asian part, right? This, while sometimes it's a disadvantage, you can also use it to an advantage to support your TATs, right? When you know that you can align end of days and start of days, right? We'll talk about them further, but these help in supporting the TATs. So how did outsourcing evolve, right? So let's look at evolution of outsourcing. As we saw in the previous chapter, it began in 1970s and progressed slowly towards the 2000. One of the biggest, I would say, prominent case studies in outsourcing was the Coca-Cola outsourcing example, right? And because it's a larger industry, it was more in the news. While there were other firms also who outsourced prior to or during the same time. What happened is Coca-Cola outsourced its bottling plant to a firm in the Philippines. First of a big time outsourcing, and it benefited heavily in that. So it's a very huge case study in terms of doing outsourcing in the initial era, right? And again, aspects of globalization in the Asian countries, these help, I would say, building more of such engagements, right? Even the interdependent businesses, this is another key factor, right? Where you have dependency between two businesses, and you can take benefit of a service provider who is into that interdependent business, right? So this is where there are some touch points in terms of I would say factors that were there during the evolution times, right? If you look at how the graph has grown, this started, as I said, as a dependency to run business, right? Out of, it's like I want to set up a new business, or I am into a new business, and there is a certain piece of work that I can't do, right, out of my skills or unavailability, and which is where I outsource portions where I can't perform those. So that was from a dependency perspective. As that matured, it went to the aspect of cost savings, right? Outsourcing to save cost and make profits, right? These further caught up with the technological changes, right? There was a huge change in technology, a lot of automation happening, a lot of new software coming up. So technology changes was another factor, right? As this progressed, people or industries started taking advantage of the outsourcing models to focus on their core competencies, right? Now they knew that they were assured of having service providers providing them with the kind of deliverables and quality they want. So they started putting their focus on core competencies. And finally, it touched upon to strategy, right? New firm startups strategically decide, right, we should get into this line of business and probably outsource certain portion, right? So this is how outsourcing has evolved, I would say. And if you again look at it from a generation perspective, so you are, if you see the early 90s, generation one, right, the prime focus, again, cost cutting, right? You outsource non-core competencies, non-core operations like human resources, accounting, right? Coming down to second generation, it as it become a prominent feature, you have jobs moving globally to cost-effective regions. This is where I was talking of the difference in monetary valuation, right? Third generation, this again spread into a wider range of functions, like they looked at having more efficiency in the business, correct? Quality become a key differentiator because you are having more and more service providers. You have aspects of Six Sigma, Lean, or even the recent one, Kanban type. But then quality was a differentiator in the third generation. And as you moved ahead and looked at the fourth generation, here it revolved more in terms of speed to market, right? Trying to have a top line growth. You have a focus more on driving innovation on your core business areas, not the non-core stuff, right? Looking at reduction in operational cost as well. You have a descriptive and predictive analysis. These were again supporting factors to the business, right? Fifth generation, the recent one, more focus is on analytics, right? Analyzing the huge data person have big data has caused a huge revolution. Investment in cloud computing. Now this is a model which is highly effective from the IT perspective, right? You have deliverables such as software as a service, the SaaS model, which is again, this is an offering in the cloud from a cloud perspective. We have a little more detail in the subsequent chapters, but this model became, I would say, widespread, where you just take the service from a vendor without any other investment on that particular service, right? On-demand BPO, It's like you don't need to have the entire service. You say you need a particular service on demand as well. You have a mobile technology. You have most of the developments now happening on as mobile apps, right? You can't just earlier, that was not the case. With the advent of mobile and Android phones being cheaply available, the reach to the customer is important. And most of the developments now have to be dual. Like a particular workflow, if it's available on my website, I will want it as an app also on the consumer's mobile. So mobile technology has caught up. You have a robotic process automation, social media which has caught up, right? So these are the recent, I would say, aspects in the fifth generation. And if you look at what the sixth generation is to offer, it will primarily revolve around online networks and global integration, right? Technology has merged, I would say, a classic example of cloud computing platforms. You have the setups of those service providers spread globally, right? And you can provide the fastest turnaround time to your customer by setting up stuff which is nearest in their geography. So this again talks more in terms of how global integration would work, right? So these are some of the, I would say, features in terms of how the evolution has been on a generation perspective. And if you look at the processing in terms of brief periodic evolution, 60s started with time sharing, 70s more on data processing, 80s went to IT operations, 19s shared business services, again 2000 going to the back B2B partnerships, right, process outsourcing, and then now into IT enabled offshore services, right? You no longer need even presence of the service provider guys at your geography. Work is happening completely offshore, right? Now let's look at the BPO models which are available. Now you have models which are, there are two of them primarily. The first one is a business model. So if this industry has to be looked at from a business model, you have four different models which are under the business model heading. First one is captive, the other is build, operate, transfer. Then you have the joint venture, and then finally the niche offering. So these four models, we will touch upon them also briefly. Let us look at the captive one, right? So what happens in a captive center? What happens is the parent organization, for example, take example of a BFSI, HSBC Bank, right? It is not headquartered in India, right? But it has set up a captive center which offers services only for HSBC, right? So the organization invests in building up a center and running it specifically for its line of business. That particular organization is a subsidiary of the parent firm, right? And it works exclusively for that particular organization only, right? And here you have the flexibility of running a back office as well as front office operation. It's purely because this is your development center, you have the choice of moving processes which are beneficial to you and which can be handled with the same level of SLAs, right? So that's how captive organization works. Moving ahead to a build, operate, transfer model. So here what happens is an independent entity takes ownership of setting this up, right? The MNC or the organization in the other geography engages with an entity who can set it up for them, right? They will build, set up and run the operations, right? Now you can have a agreement to transition it to the parent, right? The firm may not be equipped to locally set it up and run. So they engage this entity to set up, run, and then probably depending on how the agreements are, this can be transitioned to the original buyer, right? Now this works both good both ways for both the organizations. The vendor benefits in terms of setting it up and running it, and the organization outsourcing this also has I would say zero headache in terms of what goes into setting it up. There are nuances to set up. They get a ready product which they can just simply integrate and move ahead. So which is where it can be operationalized quickly after the setup, right? So this is basically the build, operate and transfer model. Coming to the third one, which is a joint venture, right? So what happens in a joint venture? You are into a joint venture partnership, right? You share profits, you enter into that JV with an understanding in terms of who will own what percentage based on the investment, the profit. It can be 40, 60, 50, 50 or 50 and 49, whatever. But this understanding has to be very clear prior to the contracting, right? And this again, being a favorable engagement for both the firms, it is kind of a best of the captive and third party models, right? Where your involvement and investment is there in the setup as well, so you benefit also out of the profit out of that investment. So that's how JV works. You must have heard of Maruti Suzuki JV, right? That's a huge one, beneficial to both organizations. So there are multiple JVs, right? Similarly in the IT side as well. And finally, you have the niche category, right? What happens is you're looking at very specific niche services with very high service levels, right? So this is not, I would say, a normal process which is being looked at. It is very niche service. For example, you have the legal aspects, right? Or outsourcing into trademarks. So this is a niche area. You don't have thousands of vendors providing that capability. So you will have select vendors, but because they are niche, they are skilled and the service levels are high, right? So this this kind of offering is also there and catching up. And as you can see here, you can have a model which is flexible. You can have a fixed and variable component to address the load variations. For example, I need a particular skill, and enhancement, scale up or scale down can be a variable component. So the knowledge process, outsourcing, LPOs, legal process, these are kind of niche processes. So these were the four business models categorized. Let us look at the other aspects, which is the operational models. So it's like a viewpoint, like if I look at it from a business view lens, I have those four models. But if I look at it from an operational view lens, I have these four models, where, as we touched upon earlier, these are process specific, professional services, manufacturing and operations. We touched upon these briefly, but these are how they are categorized under an operational model. So if you look at the process specific, again, this is conceptual and it is outsourcing to competent service providers, right? And you have an understanding in terms of quality timeline and what kind of output is required, right? And it is important to note that sometimes the term project-based outsourcing is used. This also goes under a process-specific outsourcing, right? It's a tactical one, but falls under process-specific. The next one is professional services, where we mentioned earlier, you have standard functions and you take those professional services like payrolls, recruitment, even some IT support, right? And this can be a larger engagement, 5 years plus, or even lower, 3 to 5 years. And your managed services aspect also falls under an operational model, because here you are managing the entire operations for a particular period, right? So this is where the professional services is into play. Moving ahead, you have the manufacturing, where the entire engineering of a product component is handled by the outsourced vendor. And this for sure has a huge impact to the cost, as it's like setting up an entire business unit for that particular portion, and you don't have to do that. You just look at the final product available. And as I mentioned earlier, this is largely used in the electronics and automobile industry. And coming down to the final fourth one, In terms of operations, you have the entire operations that outsource. Again, this is undertaken by large organizations. And as I gave you all the motor example, like I have the entire maintenance contracts through a third party, right? Even call center is a classic example where I have the entire customer support operations taken care of by a third entity. So they run those operations. So these are the four categories under the operational model. Now let us look ahead at the drivers of BPO business, right? So what are drivers of the BPO business? What gets categorized here? So you again here have two models. You have model one and model two. Let's look at model one. Now this model, these drivers are categorized as internal and external. So if you can see here, you have the internal drivers, which are linked to the cost, skill set, and legacy. And then you have the external drivers, which are linked to a new technology, globalization, and growth. Let us touch upon these briefly. Let us look at how the internal drivers are. And as I mentioned, the first one is cost, right? Again, as an internal driver, the firm would want to explore economies of scale. The production example that I gave, right? If you are able to save even a little in terms of the large quantum that is being produced, you get a huge multiplier, right? So cost becomes a key factor there. So here you outsource to achieve reduction, right? It's an internal driver. Skill set, right? So you are currently retaining skills for managing a particular legacy system, right? You for sure have a challenge in terms of motivating them, because the growth levels are restricted, attracting new talent, and again how this training skills will be maintained. So you are at a continuous thought process on this risk, right? Because it's a legacy system, it is very specific to your setup, has been built over an earlier era. So skill set becomes a challenge because, as I mentioned earlier, if you are 100% dependent on a particular skill set, absence of that particular skill set can be challenging, right? You coming down to legacy, right? This again has a continuity to the skill also, right? If you lack specific skills, running that legacy environment would be challenging, right? Now legacy systems, they are you have lack of support there, right? For example, if you all are well versed with say IT, you had the earlier Unix servers which were like huge towers, right? You even have the HP Unix boxes which currently are out of support, right? Because the technology has changed, right? But if your setup is on those huge I would say earlier era setup, even the manufacturer no longer is able to support that. So if such a machine breaks down, you would be at a fix in terms of bringing it back, right? Again, that also has a challenge of compatibility with the recent software that is in use, right? So if you have currently, it's like you are running Windows 10 today, Windows 11 is on the verge of getting released. But if you have systems which are dependent on applications that can run only on, say, even Windows 7, Microsoft is not going to provide support, right? So those issues are going to crop up unless there is a change done here, like, right? And this is a very important time, I would say, touch point in terms of energy efficiency, right? The earlier hardware systems are largely more power consuming. In recent times, you have green systems available, but these systems, it's kind of energy inefficient, right? So legacy setup is a key issue which most organizations need to, I would say, work upon. And this is a key internal driver as well, right? External drivers. Now let's look at what is getting touched upon externally, right? So with the advent of technology, right, you would want to take benefits, right, of the new technologies, because those offer a better turnaround. They are faster, right? They are even cost savings, like the example of cloud computing. So if I have a setup in-house, I will need to buy the entire hardware, I will need to buy or retain resources to manage it. Whereas in a cloud setup, it's like I am buying the ready setup there, and I don't need to invest capital expenditure, right? So you have cost saving models also available. Data analytics. Now, this is a key stuff for providing business intelligence of how the business should be or in what direction business should be taken ahead, right? Social media analytics. You have an entire, I would say, most 90% plus customers who are on social media and who openly share their sentiments in terms of their experiences with buyers, vendors, and other stuff. The analytics here helps you to quickly touch upon or address, right? So this is a very largely and highly progressing platform here now. So new technology is a key external driver, right? Next is globalization, right? With globalization, what is happening is you can now trade globally, right? It's a powerful driver. You are no longer restricted to working in your own or engaging only in your own country, right? You can benefit from the growing economy of the developing countries, right? And also by having, say, captive centers or engagements globally, you term yourself as a global organization, which is where even your customers are looking at organizations which are providing service, right? So globalization is another key external driver. Third one on the external driver is the growth, right? Now, as an organization, you would want to grow organically or inorganically, right? If you look at inorganic growth, I think the outsourcing works well, especially if you looked at the example of the entire units being outsourced. So by, I would say, even the model of JV, right, you can have a inorganic quick growth, right, by engaging with a person who is able to deliver you a particular component of the end-to-end business deliverable. You can increase your focus on core areas, right? Improve your operational efficiency, right? Your speed and time to market also increases, and then you have enhanced flexibility as well. So growth works as a good external driver as well to outsourcing. So this was how model one was framed. Now let us look at model two, right? So how is model 2 framed? The drivers under model 2, they are categorized in terms of strategic, tactical, financial, technical, and geopolitical. Now again, as I mentioned, this is a viewpoint, if I have to look at this from a strategy or a tactic or purely from a financial aspect. So let us touch upon some of these factors also under the model 2. So factor 1 is strategic, right? So what is covered under a strategic driver, right? So it's like the top management thinks strategically to switch to an alternative process, right? You have a process running in a particular manner, a manner, and you see that, or you are aware that this can be run in a different manner, right? So that's a strategy, wanting to run from A to a B alternative. You also would strategically want to focus on innovation, right? Then these are pointers coming out from the strategy, right? You want to achieve higher stakeholder value. Again, the marketing aspect becomes critical here, the positioning of the organization. If you are aware of the marketing aspect, marketing position is a key, I would say, pointer here, which falls under the strategic drive to outsource. Coming to tactical drive, now tactical is more of decision or need based, right? You may want to minimize the operational cost, right? Or you have a skill set issue which you want to manage that risk, or even if you want to look at cost reduction, improvement of quality and turnaround times, right? Improve your risk management. So these are some of the factors which are under the tactical drivers. Moving ahead, the third one is financial. This is pretty much, I would say, where the CFOs focus on. The focus is primarily on reducing the cost, increasing the revenue, trying to trade off capex with opex, the example that we discussed. And I would say look at infrastructure investment, sharing or avoiding, even transfer of cost risk to a service provider. It helps them. They don't need to then cover or insure that particular portion, right? So these are kind of financial drivers for outsourcing. Fourth one is the technical drivers. Now, as I said, technology is growing and growing fast, and you would want to benefit from the technical enhancement that is taking place, which can help give you a competitive advantage, right? It can help improve the business intelligence. Again, the model that we talked about, cloud, right? It's a pay as you use model, right? I don't need to buy the entire stuff. I can buy it for a particular portion, right? For as much time as I need. I can scale up and scale down based on a need, right? Without having to pay or sustain the entire cost, right? This also helps me improve the turnaround time and the efficiency. So these are factors which are covered under the technical drivers. And lastly, coming to geopolitical. So this is a mix combination of geographical and political factors, right? Points of globalization are covered here. Business relations between countries. It's like the presidents of two countries discuss and agree, yes, we would do more handshake of business. And then it boils down to particular industries to carry out those engagements. The commitments are there, political commitments in terms of doing those trades. And you may have geopolitical agendas as well. So this is another factor, geopolitical one, which is part of the driver, right? So we saw both the models, model one as well as model two. Now let's move ahead to summarize this chapter. So if you have seen that strategy plays a key role to the outsourcing, right? You cannot be outsourcing just on the basis of a thought. The strategy plays a key role in terms of a decision by the apex management, right? And earlier, outsourcing which started as a need to do a particular job or function for a particular area which was not doable. Today, it's more in terms of having a active partnership and how the firms engage and grow together, right? And as you can see, this global business process outsourcing, you know, it is expected to reach $400+ billion by 27, according to recent studies done by Grandview, right? So outsourcing is poised to grow, and you've seen even the two models available and the drivers available. So this is where we conclude on the brief for business process outsourcing, and we'll follow it up more in the next chapter. Thank you.